Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
So how do you pick the right people? Joining me is Peter Dalguez, the CMO and co-founder of Atleto. So A, how do you pick the right people? And B, how important is it? Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Hit us with it.
I would say it's extremely important. If you don't have the right people, you're going to fail. Mm. And that's how simple it is. So what we do, I can talk for Atleto, is that we want people that live the brand themselves. We want people that do sport, from engineers to marketing people to salespeople. We want people that understand the brand and understand sport.
So they're a part of it. They feel like they're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can't just have people that read it. You have to live it.
Yeah.
So that's and then of course chemistry. Chemistry is extremely important. You go with your gut and feel. Do I want to be in a plane with this guy or this? And then obviously
it's like a family when you're building a business.
It is totally like a family. So the chemistry is extremely important. And then respect, always respect.
How important is values and culture? I know that when you're finding the right people, when I'm building my business or when I consult for another person, company culture is one of the biggest things that always comes up.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, retention, building your business better and faster with more employees coming through it because they want to be a part of the company culture.
Yeah.
Tom's Shoes, Google, Zappos, those are some amazing companies to model the culture off. Mm. How important is company culture? What are some cool things that you guys do?
Well, we have different things we do. We have something we call the Libra effect.
What is that?
If someone is down, and you are when you do startups, some days are hard. The others have to take the person up. It's something they have to do. So if we see someone that is having a bad day,
yeah.
We use all the energy we have, or it could be me, to get this person up again and get him back on track again. So that's really seeing, because it's like everything in this world is run on emotions. So
if one person is toxic, it's going to bring the energy down.
It spreads like this.
Yeah.
So it's extremely important to get the good vibes up all the time. If you have bad vibes, work on it, focus on it, and make it make it disappear.
What about values? I think values is one of the most underlooked and undervalued things in an organization. When you go into most small businesses and you ask them what are their company values, they look at you with this puzzled face like, my company values? So how important is getting everybody to be absolutely in alignment with the values in the organization?
It comes from when you start picking the people, you have to look at them and feel, is this a person that has the right values? And what are right values? You mean that for us at Atleto, that is, we are doing a sports app that with 40 sports for everyone. So we need persons that are holistic, who don't, look down on anyone. It's about having respect.
Yeah. They need to value adventure if they're going to be in sports, like you said.
Yeah, but also, respecting people and respecting everything around, if it's a culture difference, if it's religion or what it is.
Yeah.
We need to have people with very wide shoulders who can take the world in as beautiful, as different it is.
You mentioned cultural differences. I know that you're from Denmark.
Yeah,
so
we're not from here. So
is there a difference between Denmark or really any other country versus the United States that you've noticed in regards to how they go about finding the right people and building a team?
The biggest difference about Denmark and US is the size. We have something in Denmark called the law of Jante.
What is that?
That's a stupid thing. It's about you shouldn't feel that you're any better than anyone else.
Mm. Humility. That,
yeah.
Get rid of the ego.
But it really puts you down. It makes you, and it has so many bad things about it because it destroys creativity in a lot of ways. But the good thing about it, as we can take here, is that you're very humble with that attitude from Denmark. You come here and you're so humble about that you are in a country where you can make everything possible and you want to contribute to this country with what you bring into it. Another culture difference is that because of that, when we meet people, they all, Americans and US people, are very enthusiastic and
not all.
but the people we meet gets excited and they show their excitement and they're very well behaved. So they tell. So we, when we get out of meetings, we say this was the best meeting we ever had.
Yeah.
And then we maybe sometimes never hear from them again. versus in Denmark, when people react like that, that means, okay, they're ready to invest. And all right, so we really had to balance that, if really not being too overwhelmed by all this excitement and, you know, really, okay, taking it out. Okay, we have great meetings, but just few of them comes out.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about the difference between small teams versus big teams. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me today is Peter Dalgas. Steve Jobs says one of my favorite quotes ever, and it's, a small A team will run circles around a large C team.
Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts? Is it more important to have a tight-knit group of a couple guys, but they're all at the top of their game, they're all the best, they're all professionals and experts, or is it better to have a giant just group of people with more diversity?
Yeah, well, I was the first, because that's how our business is built. You get killed in meetings, you know, meetings, I mean, everything dies. There's no innovation in that. So I would suggest, I mean, now we're a small company going big right now, but I would really recommend that even bigger companies should take out these small groups and, you know, take them away from the room and do the innovation here.
Everybody nowadays wants to feel like they're a part of something. They want to feel like they're a part of a tribe, a community, a club.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Aleto is going to be so great, too, as you guys figure out how to incorporate that feeling of a community in that.
Yeah.
So what else? Is there anything else specifically that you would come to mind when you go, building a good team, what is the foundation of that? Anything else that comes to mind for you?
Celebrating victories. That's very important because you want to be a part of a winning team. So, and you can always find something to celebrate.
Yeah.
I mean, even the small, and that gives like a good feeling of, okay, I'm a part of something that's great. It's moving the right direction.
I mean, and we celebrate together.
We celebrate together, and we always do that in Atleto. I mean, we celebrate the first match we had. We celebrate the first campaign, the first Facebook comment. We celebrate these things.
Is there a difference between how Denmark celebrates the wins versus how American culture does?
Well, here everything is just big here, and you know, and that's one of the good things I love by living here is that it's okay to say, hey, we did this, we nailed this, we were good. And I was talking about the law of giants in Denmark. If you say that, then you might, you know. Do you feel that you're better than other by saying that? And it's killing kind of the winning culture. By here, you have a winning culture. By it's okay to just say, hey, we did this. So I'm really taking the humble attitude from Denmark here, and then trying to adapt into this winning culture, which actually fits very good.
Do you have any hiring tips?
Well, I can say for our sake, we need to do sport with these people we hire.
Play sports with them.
We do. So,
what are some sports that you played with them?
Yeah, well, I go
windsurf.
If they don't windsurf, I find a sport that I can do with them. Or if it's not me, it's the other partners of the team. We're so divided in different sports. So our CEO, he plays golf, tennis, soccer, and our our CFO, he's a sailor and he plays badminton. But you could always just go for a run, a jog, or you know, take the bike out or something.
I love that. I think that's really part of your guys' company culture there. It's fun and it's revolved around sports. As we come to a wrap, give me your 10, 20, 30 second speech. I call it a stadium pitch to the world. We got aspiring entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs tuning in. What's your best advice for them?
Do something that you feel is lacking out there. Make something that you would use, something that you see as a product or a solution that would make a difference for yourself. Don't imagine everything about how could he or she, what would do difference from in your own life. That's really the best advice, because in that, a lot, it's all gonna come from there. It's coming from that passion you have to change something in world, because you see I could use that product.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank
Appreciate
you so much,
Peter,
for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
First of all, you have to be realistic that you're going to get knocked down, and that every industry you jump into, somebody has been mastering it for a long time and many people have failed at it.
Right.
So you look at Shark Tank. I thought that, going on Shark Tank in the first three seasons, I lost money because I thought I can just approach everything the same way.
8 years later.
8 years later, I started making money when I surrounded myself with the experts around me that understood that industry. And I knew when to be the boss and be the teacher, or when to be the student around my, you know, my staff. And that's when you start being able to grow, when you realize you don't know everything. Every day I'm learning, I'm on a quest, and I'm taking all that information, I'm applying it to my everyday life. I think I learned the most off of Shark Tank. Not only do I learn from the four other bozos that are sitting next to me that think they know things.
I'll tell Mark that.
I tell myself all the time. But I learn from these new young entrepreneurs who are doing business a whole new way. They're 18 years old. They're touching the entire world with their smartphone. They're converting money. They don't need retail anymore. I'm learning from them. I'm applying it to my business as well.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Head to Court Furniture Clearance Center for up to 70% off new retail prices. You never know what kind of court-certified treasures you'll find. And the best part? It's court bonus rewards time. Earn bonus rewards in our clearance centers from April 4th through April 30th, 2019. Get $25 in bonus rewards on every $250 spent after all discounts and before taxes applied. Court bonus rewards aren't transferable, can't be exchanged for actual cash, and are not valid with any other offers, discounts, or special buys. Redeem your court bonus rewards May 1st through May 10th, 2019. Go to courtclearancefurniture.com today.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us. She's the CEO of Genev. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health, which is something that we don't typically talk about. Hormonal health is everything.
Especially on this show.
Exactly. Probably the first time. Hormonal health is everything from menstruation to menopause, and every woman goes through it. And Genev focuses on bringing healthy products and content and digital community to women going through that transition in their life.
Nice. And you just got started in this space. So what has that been like for you? So, the whole startup experience?
Yeah. It's been amazing and exciting. I've always wanted high highs and low lows, and I'm getting them. I'm 1 year into the business, and it's been an incredible adventure just figuring out, what does a business take? What kinds of decisions need to happen before others? How do you motivate and find customers? How do you find the right team members? I'd say the greatest challenge I've experienced is finding the right people. And when you do, it's magic.
Yeah. What was the hardest part about just getting out into the space, putting your message out there, putting content out there, especially in this space? I mean, I feel like it's either going to be very well received, or you have to, as we all probably have to do at some point, is kind of just keep refining and crafting our message. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you to put yourself out there in the spotlight and talk about something like this?
Well, you nailed it when you said in this space, especially. Mm-hmm. Women's hormonal health is kind of a taboo topic. And when we talk about Genev, we say we're taking on the taboos of women's hormonal health. Mm-hmm. Women don't talk about it. And so when something's not talked about, it's not addressed. Yeah. And so the hardest part is getting it out there in terms of making people feel comfortable to talk about it. Whether that goes even into our digital marketing, the words we use about a woman's body are sometimes censored, and so we can't post out ads and things. So just kind of fighting through the norms around our topic area is one challenge. I'd say the other is myself. I've had to really put myself out there to talk about even my own health, because people connect with you when you have a story that they can relate to. And so it's been a big change in putting my story out there and just being a lot more vulnerable to my customers and to my audience.
That's why I asked, because I'm in the content space, speaking space, book, just all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I know, I mean, you have to be vulnerable. You have to break through the uncomfortable feelings of being on camera, being on stage, sharing this on all different platforms online, social media. And I know that a lot of people struggle with that. So if you had to give some advice for the people out there who are wanting to follow their passions. They're wanting to start their business. Maybe it's content. Maybe it's sharing their message with the world. I mean, after all, the fastest growing industry in the world is the coaching space. People who want to provide their content and their story to have it move people. So I know there's a lot of people that aren't doing that. Self-doubts, limiting beliefs, feelings of unworthiness. What's your advice, though? Because you're doing it. You're in your first year. You're going through it right now. So what's your advice for those people that are sitting on the fence?
You know, that's a great question. I think that my advice is when you're in that moment of should I share it or should I not about a certain point or a story that's going to make your story better, just do it. Because, you know, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness,
after the fact.
And I think that in order to be successful, especially in the content space, or to be a leader, you're going to have to put yourself out there. And I think that it's the fears oftentimes that hold us back. But inherently, if you're thinking about it, then you want to do it. And it's kind of a relief the moment that you put it out there the first time, because now you've done it and the next time becomes a lot easier. So just go for it, I guess, is my greatest advice versus holding back, because you'll have regrets if you don't do it.
And that's, I love the fact that you brought up, it's so perfect. You know, it's better to ask for forgiveness, or it's better to ask for, what is it? My dad told me to all the time.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Permission. Yeah. And the whole fear thing is so great, because I feel like when you're getting started, you have to push through the feeling of being uncomfortable enough times to then make it feel normal. And you have to, it's, you know, the acronym of fear is false evidence appearing real. You have to do it enough times to realize that the fear was false evidence appearing real. And you just have to keep doing it. You just keep doing it, keep doing it. And your first 50 or 100 or 200 may suck. I know my first 100, 200 speaking opportunities and interviews and things like that, they weren't as good as they are after my 1,000th. And so you just got to get out there. You got to do it enough times. Let's shift gears and talk about what you did before this, because I want people to have some context of like your background. What were you doing for 20 years before you started Genev?
So for the past 20 years, my career has been in tech. I've been in marketing, in technology companies. Yeah. The last 15 years have been at Microsoft. And specifically there, Microsoft's a big company, so you get to reinvent yourself many times. I was in product marketing around the world. I was in kind of an executive chief of staff position for a while. But I was also in media. And my last role, I was focused on our consumer brands, specifically Xbox. And so I came from like the gaming industry and worked on building consumer brands for gamers or office for productivity users. And so I know how to build consumer brands and consumer loyalty. Translating that to women's healthcare products has been an interesting transition. you know, but it's been, there's so many things that I can apply between the two. And the intensity, I think, of the tech space and the fast-paced nature and the digital marketing are probably, and the leadership lessons are the greatest aspects of that I've applied to this.
Did you always know? I mean, for 20 years, you've been doing that. So I'm like very curious to know, was entrepreneurship something that you stumbled into? You got sick and tired of the tech space and you want to start your own business. Was it something you always wanted to do or no? Tell me.
In fact, I always thought, gosh, I can't imagine being responsible for people's salaries, you know, in terms of like needing to bring in enough income to pay people to work with you. So that always scared me. But I always had this like needling inside me that said, you're meant to do something else. And I kind of always just wanted to burst out of what I was doing. So it was more of a feeling that I kind of almost couldn't explain. It's like little whispers. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs kind of experience. Like, I'm meant to be doing something different, but I don't know what it is. And the right thing has to kind of expose itself or come along. And in my case, it did.
That's fantastic. But when did you finally accept that little voice saying, it's time, you got to start, you got to start? Because I feel like so many people have been hearing that for years, for decades. And I feel like most people don't go after their dreams because they can't make that voice go away and make their other voice louder that's saying, it's time to get started, versus the little voice that goes, what if you fail?
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to make the money, you're going to lose your paycheck.
Well, I would say in my tech career, I didn't go out on a high. And, you know, I think it's really hard to admit that, but the voice had gotten louder during that period to say, you know what, I think there's something better I should be doing that's better for me, better for everyone around me. And so it almost took me in getting to a place of struggle to now begin to listen to it in a relevant way. Otherwise, I'm a super optimistic person. I'm a fighter. And through every challenge the tech world threw at me, I stood up and I took it on. And I think it got, it required me getting to a point where it was like, you know what, maybe it's time to make a change. And so don't try and fight so hard sometimes when you're just not happy. You know, it's kind of my point there.
And that's fantastic because so many people have their roots dug in. 20 years I've been in this space. Mm-hmm. I can't dig up my roots and go do something new and start all over. But if you're not happy, if you're not in alignment with your purpose and your passion, or if you don't even know what your purpose and your passion is, you need to figure that out first. But then you just have to make the shift. We'll be right back with Joe Angelo. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us right now. She's the CEO of Genev. Recap for us what your company does.
Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health, and we provide healthy products and content to help women live the best versions of themselves.
So you said you guys are providing products on the back, because I was going to ask, how are you guys able to monetize what you guys are doing? So how do you go and get these products? Are you the ones making them? Are you finding, you know, products that you end up white labeling? Are you doing joint ventures and affiliates and host beneficiaries? How are you guys doing it?
It's a combination. So our healthy products, they're consumer products. We sell them on Amazon.com, Walgreens.com, and we sell them via direct via Genev.com. Okay. And they are products that we both manufacture. We've also private labeled some. We develop our products focused on the symptoms women experience with hormonal change in their body. And so a couple of the products, one in particular, we have developed ourselves and manufacture. It's got FDA clearance. A couple of the others we've private labeled with the Genev brand, just to give a family of products for women.
Nice. And so when it comes to selling those products, is it specifically inbound marketing for people reading your content, or do you guys actually have different strategies and tactics to go out, put advertisements and marketing campaigns out that yield sales?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just content marketing?
Yes.
Is it both?
It's a combination of both. So content marketing is huge, obviously, because we're building a consumer brand that's based on trust in a relationship with women around their health. So that's one facet. The other, we do some paid advertising, obviously search and SEO work just to start to build our brand. We've done some press as well. And then we obviously market through the Amazon and Walgreens engines that we're part of from a distribution perspective.
Nice. What have you found being some of the best platforms to distribute your content? And what have you found being some of the best platforms to sell on? Because a lot of people are doing Facebook ads, LinkedIn, you said Google, SEO, different things like that. What's working best for you?
So on the content side, we're obviously publishing ourselves direct and then pushing that out through channels. We're really building the backlinks with different influencers in the women's health space, whether it's mommy bloggers or, you know, bloggers focused on nutrition and exercise and so forth. But we also publish a lot to Medium. It's a long form space that a lot of people appreciate content, and that's the kind of original content that we're creating with medical experts and with women telling their stories. On the marketing side, or the digital marketing, Facebook ads, huge. Our space, because women's health sometimes includes some terminology that is a little bit more sensitive in nature, we really have to work with Facebook to find the right language so that it is publishable. Same with YouTube and Google.
Awesome. And I know that it is difficult to deal with Facebook sometimes with the wording and everything like that. A lot of people don't understand. And I think that if you dominate Google search engine optimization, people are probably, I know you and I talked, we said we can't say some of the things, but people are probably all typing that in on Google.
Yeah.
And if you guys can make sure that you're, you know, paying for those $12 keyword searches, then you guys are going to dominate. But then you got to have a good lead capture and funnel and conversion process at the back end. What has it been like for you? Because I know this is new for you. Getting into this space, dealing with generating, qualifying, nurturing, converting leads, how has that experience been for you?
You know, first of all, when you come from a big corporate space, I was an executive in the corporate space, so I had a team that did a lot of this work, so I'd learned to do it myself. That's number one. And you've got to understand it and dig in. I think more than anything, especially as well as a startup, you have small budgets. And so I can't go out and put the $12 on a term that a big competitor, a big brand that's already in the space is buying on. And so I've got to find the long tail terms, own those, and start to build gradually. Especially on the content side, that's where I'm going to build loyalty and trust with consumers. And so that's my angle to trying to find a unique and different way into this business. A third mechanism is really focusing on the medical referral channels. I'm talking to doctors, physical therapists, women's wellness spas and centers, oncology departments to get our products into their space so it develops that word of mouth.
How has it been received from influencers, from partners, from doctors, from different things like that? Has it just been kind of like, we get it, let's do something, let's figure out how to make it work? Or has there been like, well, I don't know?
It's, we get it, you know, for a long time.
Because sometimes first-year businesses have trouble conveying the message, the value proposition, and setting something up in their first year.
Yeah. You know, I'd say with our audience, with women and with medical professionals, they're like, oh, we get it. In fact, when we started this, we surveyed 1,500 women to understand the kind of products they used and where they bought them. And we came back, they gave us feedback we didn't think we'd get, and they said, would someone start the dialogue already around this topic? So, well received there. From investors, that's where a topic like this is kind of like, you're not in my space,
or
I don't quite get it. Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm curious to find out how you are looking to raise money and then allocate it. CEO of Genev, Jill Angelo, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about investors right now. Why do you think you need investors? What are you going to do with the money?
I need investors simply to get the business going. In my space, I'm in the manufacturing space, so I need cash outlay for products up front, as well as to build a consumer brand. It requires digital marketing. And so that's where investors are coming in to fund the business.
Okay. And you're going to use the money for products. You're going to use it for marketing to grow the team and everything like that.
Yes.
How has that process been? Is this your first time trying to raise money?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's been probably one of the harder parts of the job.
I was going to say.
I had original angel funding up front, and that was a great kickoff and support system to get the business going. And I think maintaining that, especially in the manufacturing space, I've got to find an interesting combination of debt-driven funding for production and then save the equity for team and consumer brand building. That's kind of my strategy, and finding that right mix is a challenge just to get it right, especially at such an early stage.
What has been one of your best lessons so far when selling? I remember when I was going out raising millions, and it's just a crazy experience to sit down with high-level people that can write a check for seven figures and getting the feedback from them and being nervous. And what has been one of the best lessons for you that you could share? Because a lot of people out there are probably like, I'm trying to raise money too. I'm struggling, or I'm trying to figure out if it's right to raise money. What's been the best lesson for you on that process?
Well, first of all, really understand the investor and their motivations. Mm-hmm. If you go talk to them and they're not interested in your space or in your kind of business, you're just wasting their time and you're wasting yours. And I've learned that. I've been told that as advice, but I think once you really feel it, when you find that connection with someone who's really interested in your space, that's great. I think as well, know your numbers. Understand the economics of your business and how one thing builds and leads to another. And then have that dialogue with the person. And it's okay if you don't know every answer, as long as they really understand how you think. That's probably the greatest bit of advice I'd give to somebody, because that's when you get into the dialogue and the intimidation factor goes away.
Awesome. I love that advice. Now I want advice on the person who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of them out there. Yep. You made the jump, but I think there's so many people that are crippled in fear, crippled in uncertainty about, is it the right time? How am I going to pay my bills? We get all different types of answers. That's why I'm excited to get yours. Somebody has a 9-to-5 job. They want to, desperately want to cut the cord and go after their passions and their business. But for fear, uncertainty, and other variables, they're not going yet. What's your advice?
I think it's really hard to dip your toe and try and do it after hours. I know seems like the logical way to do it, but you're never going to put yourself out there and truly be successful in a way that it requires. Like, this is a put your whole self into it kind of
you're
mode.
All in or you're not.
You're all in. Mm. And honestly, you could always go back. You can always go back to the 9 to 5.
But most people are terrified of going back because if their friends and their family are like, well, you quit your job, which we already said not to do. You went out and your business failed. We were rooting for you, but we kind of knew it was going to fail, which is like, great. What a great friend or family member. And now you got to go back to the 9 to 5 job. That's like the nightmare. I think most people, employees are terrified of losing their job. Entrepreneurs are terrified of having a job. So to quit your job, go get be an entrepreneur and then have it fail and come back. It's like the nightmare of nightmares.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, but you're going to have to make tougher decisions in the business than deciding to quit and go back. And hey, you know what? You maybe don't need to go back. You could do other freelance or whatever to sustain some income until you figure out the next step. But I think it's harder being an entrepreneur and the decisions you have to make versus going back.
I 100% agree. But again, to the point, a lot of people are going through that struggle in their mind, right? Oh no, what am I going to do?
And I don't want to. I have the same struggle. I'm not,
I remember thinking that before my business took off. I remember my first year and even at some points in my second year being like, oh my goodness, it'd be so much easier to just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm only paying other people first. Like, I'm working to make money to pay other people first. Mm-hmm. And pay myself last. And if there's not enough to go around, I don't get anything. I get very little. But I'm the one doing most of the work that ends up paying all these people. And it's just like, it'd be so much easier to go get a job and keep all my own money. And being in that place is such a terrible feeling. But I think having gone through that, pushing through it, and getting to a place where you're like, now I'm at a place in my life where I don't ever have to worry about money. It's just like to look back and be like, you got through it. That's the goal, I think, of an entrepreneur is to get to that place. But you got to get through the hustle and you got to get through the adversity. Take me back to a season in your life where you had adversity. Could be maybe in this first year of your business.
It's right now. Mm. You know, I'm 1 year into this business, so I'm in that place right now where you're worrying about money and you're paying everybody else before you're paying yourself and you're working like you've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I've
That's
had 20
what I'm
years
saying.
Yeah, in tech
crazy.
And I'm working harder than I've ever worked. There are super low days, but the highs are really great. And you just have to kind of say, okay, I have another woman that works with me and we're always like, okay, what are we celebrating today? And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we're like, hey, let's celebrate the person who commented on that blog post because it was one person that we reached. And so we make it a point to have a little bit of quirky humor to keep our spirits up, to keep us going. But it's not, I'm in it. Right now, and every day is a self-talk to myself around staying positive and just fighting through it.
And that's huge. It's the self-talk going on in your head that's either going to crush you and make you quit, or it's going to get you back up and keep going. I love that you just said, you know, you celebrate the small wins. Reminds me of a quote from my friend John Assaroff. He says, celebrate the small wins as if they're big, and the big wins as if they're normal. Mm. Jill, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. One, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. Two, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. Three, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Ah! It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Hello, this is America's healthcare advocate with your healthcare tip of the day. The most health-promoting type of fat that you can eat is composed of omega-3 fatty acids. They reduce your risk of breast cancer considerably in three major ways. Omega-3 fatty acids decrease the power of estrogen in the breast so that cells won't divide as quickly in response to estrogen. They act to subdue inflammation and all the ill effects of an enzyme involved in inflammation called COX-2 enzyme. Omega-3s mop up oxygen-free radicals. Here's a list of some of the major health conditions improved with omega-3 fats: asthma, cancer of the breast, prostate, and colon, diabetes, heart arrhythmias, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, rheumatoid arthritis, skin disorders, osteoporosis, gum disease, and more. The best source of omega-3 fatty acids is flax seeds, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds, soybeans, winter squash, and ground oregano are the other good sources. The body functions best when you eat a 4-to-1 ratio of omega-6s and omega-3s.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. This is our CEO roundtable segment. And as always, two rockstar CEOs are joining us right now. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App.
And what is the Glam App? Do you might as well give us a little bit of background?
Right. The Glam App is Uber for beauty. It's hair, right, makeup, and nails on demand.
All right. Well, let's see if he is the Uber of something, too. What do you do?
My name is Taylor Walker. I'm the CEO and founder of Earth Encounters. It's a gaming company. We create board games, educational board games that are also fun, but teach people about societal issues in a competitive way.
Very cool. Give me a contextual example. Tell us about one of those games. I think that's awesome.
Okay. So, like, for instance, answer me this. What changed the world more, Google or Facebook, and why?
Google or Facebook? That's a tough one. I would say Google, okay, just because it's an educational tool. It's a learning tool. Mm-hmm. For Facebook, can be as well, mm-hmm, but I feel like Facebook's more of a news feed, mm-hmm, where if you're following the wrong people, you're going to be conditioned with the wrong information.
Right.
All of my friends on Facebook and followers and stuff like that, it's peer motivation. You scroll down my news feed, you're going to walk away like you're on fire. You're going to be
exactly
motivated.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a typical average person, you probably have, you know, friends that are conditioning the wrong things on your newsfeed, mm-hmm, whereas Google is going to be based on the individual user. If you're typing, mm-hmm, in good things, number one search thing on Google is how-tos, mm-hmm, and that means people are looking to learn when they go on Google, mm-hmm, whereas Facebook, you're looking to be conditioned with social media. That's my input.
I'm going to say Facebook because it's like connective.
I feel like it's a trick question, obviously.
It's a connective tissue that creates communication anywhere in the world, and you can have a conversation with
through friends and family,
yes,
right? See, there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But see, the fact is we're creating that dialogue. And so, yeah, what we've done is we've created a whole myriad of issues and we put it into a platform where people can talk about and discuss these dialogues. Mm. And so that's
great
what
idea.
We do.
Very cool. What was the hardest part about getting your company started? And then we'll talk about Karis.
I would say the hardest part about getting started was the funding part. So we went through Kickstarter, a crowdfunding campaign, and I've never done anything like it at the sort.
Yeah.
And so originally it was just a learning curve for us and putting together the Kickstarter campaign, putting together our team to help promote what we were doing and getting our news coverage and stuff like that. I think that was the hardest part for us.
I can totally identify because I just feel like I got very lucky in our first seed round of funding or with, mm-hmm, our angel investment. But now that we're gearing up for the second round, there's so many things that I don't necessarily know because my background is not in business,
exactly,
and it's not in finance, mm-hmm, and there's just so much to navigate. So, mm-hmm, and money makes or breaks a business.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's super important.
And information.
Yes.
Sorry.
Information for sure. What do you think is something that you would go back and share with yourself when you were getting started? I think maybe it could have been to avoid Kickstarter or how to do Kickstarter better.
I would just say prepare more. So what I just kind of took 6 months in order to put together our campaign. But when I, after the fact that I did my research, it turns out that companies were actually taking a year, at least a year in advance to market their, to basically build their community, market their product, and then come out with the Kickstarter campaign. So I think preparation was a little, I would have went back and did a little bit more of that, but okay. It turned out okay.
It's a good one. Kara?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's
the Glam app's been around for 17 months, so what's something that you wish you knew when you got started?
You know, I think for me, being a woman and being a young woman and being a young woman who doesn't have a business background, there were so many things to navigate. And I think I oftentimes didn't choose my battles because I felt such a sense of need to sort of change people's perspectives. And I would, going back and looking in retrospect, I would say, you know what, just focus on what it is you're trying to accomplish and don't be so bogged down with the criticism and negativity.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, us being entrepreneurs, you have to just, you know, be very strong in your resolve with whatever you're doing, whatever company you have. So there's going to be a lot of doubters out there, and you want to just push through that and just see your vision through to the end. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I love what you just said, which was doubters. We call them haters, doubters, whatever. People don't support us.
They come in many different shapes and sizes, but I mean, you just got to stay strong, and being an entrepreneur is a bumpy road, and you have to have that type of resolve in order to be successful.
You come from an acting background, so at some point you've learned how to overcome fear of rejection, what other people think about you, being nervous on stage or on camera.
Yeah.
Those are all things that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, which is why they stay in a safe, secure, certain, comfortable environment, job, life, relationship. So I think at the end of the day, every entrepreneur starts to condition themselves with a new way of looking at failure, a new way of looking at rejection, a new way of not so much caring about what other people think. When do you feel like you had developed that mindset, and what do you think are some keys to developing that mindset for people that maybe don't have it yet?
For me, I was an athlete, and so I played college sports, and so, I mean, my coach would yell at me all the time, so that's like one form of rejection. So just, you know, being able to, I've also been able to, like, you know, have interviews and stuff like that and press conferences and stuff like that, so I've kind of been able to, it's kind of molded me, or I've kind of taken some of the skills I've learned from that experience in order to, like, help me in the entrepreneurial space. But, I mean, I'm sure you'd go through the same thing in acting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I said it earlier, is rejection is just one more attempt at success. So it's like it's another opportunity. And I think if you look at the glass half full as opposed to half empty, you're probably more inclined to continue to push through, as you said, and have that resilience. And and so I just try and, you know, learn from everything that happens, good or bad.
Yeah, one of my mentors always used to tell me, like, he wants to fail because the more he fails, the more he gets to learn stuff.
Exactly.
And so all your failures as a whole make up your whole being, and that contributes to your success.
And that's a shift that a lot of people have to learn how to develop, is at the end of the day, what separates successful entrepreneurs and people in general is the mindset. We're here at the CEO Roundtable. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App, an on-demand beauty platform bringing consumers and providers of beauty together.
Thanks for being here.
Taylor Walker, co-founder of Earth Encounters, a gaming company that creates socially conscious board games, and I actually sell board games.
Did you guys always think that you were going to be entrepreneurs? Like, she stumbled into it, I know.
Yeah, I just fell into it.
She stumbled into it, but what about you?
I kind of did. I mean, growing up, I saw my father both do the entrepreneurial thing. He used to do licensed beach towels for both the Lakers, Michael Jackson. And then I also saw him do the corporate side of things. And I just saw the kind of toll, the emotional and stress that it put on his body. And so I kind of didn't want that for myself. And so I always knew that when I was going back and getting my MBA, I wanted to put all these skills I'm learning towards creating my own.
Guys, I wish we had more time. It's been a pleasure having you with us. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.